Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm also a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with a lot of speculators, hedgers, broker-assisted online traders of a great online technology. Hybrid is a mix of both. If you'd like to know more about me, you can go to turnerstake.com. All my contact information is on the website. Also in the show notes here. So I've been out of the office for a couple of days. I went to the Kansas City for FarmCon, which is a conference that Kevin Van Trump and Farm Direction puts on. It's always very good. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. I thought this year was great. For all the clients that were down there and said hello, that it was fantastic seeing everyone. And if I hadn't met you in person before, that was great too. For subscribers to the newsletter and those of you who listen to the podcast, who I hadn't met before, and just kind of came up and said hi, that's great. You know, when I go to those events, I always, you know, I have my bow tie on, and I'm usually the only guy in the room with one on, so it's easy to find me. A lot easier for you guys to find me than to find you in that respect, because you know what I look like. So listen, that was fantastic. Had a great time, and I'll be definitely going back there again. So right now, my flight has been canceled. Was supposed to get back to Chicago this morning. Supposed to be on the first flight, but the winter storm here canceled all the Southwest flights from Kansas City to Chicago. So I am here in the Hilton at the airport, and we're going to do a podcast. So a couple of things. Let's do phase one of the trade deal was signed on Wednesday. We had some classic buy the rumor, sell the fact action. You know, what I'll say is around Thanksgiving, we had the deal announced the prospects of a deal being announced. And since then we've had pretty much a big rally in corn, soybeans and wheat to some degree, right? You know, maybe we put on 15, 20 cents in corn at one point, you know, about 70, 80 cents in beans, a dollar or more in wheat. The wheat story really has to do with the China deal, but still the markets were in some pretty big rally mode there. And what happened is when the deal actually got signed and we saw the text of this thing, market was a little disappointed. Not disappointed in the fact that, you know, it wasn't what they said would be in there, but I think what the market was looking for is more concrete kind of details about how much and when and of what and all that stuff. But, you know, that just wasn't going to happen. China is not going to telegraph what they're going to buy. You know, there was also language in this agreement that the two countries can, you know, basically walk out at any time or, you know, give written notice and they can be void. But here's the deal. And, you know, there's also some things about tariffs and when they'd be lifting, when they wouldn't. But this is what when I read, and so, you know, one of the reasons then, you know, when you get any kind of event with, like, earnings reports or the Fed cutting rates, or maybe it's in the commodity world, buy the rumor, sell the fact really means is something's going to happen. This catalyst is going to happen. So the market buys into it. And then when the day comes, if it doesn't beat expectations, not stay at expectations, if it doesn't beat expectations and significantly, we're probably selling off some, right? Because that's when because the trade's over, the profit taking happens. The buying is what leads up into the market. And then once that is done, they take it off unless you've got real good reason to think we're going higher. Basically, the market price is in the expectations. And then you have to beat expectations for it to go higher. We did not beat expectations. And that's what happened. Now, what it did do is it basically laid the framework for the United States and China to work together. All right. That is by far the biggest part in all of this. So, you know, they listed the different commodities. They listed the amounts. There's a time frame. There are penalties. I will say this. for China to buy 30, they're going to buy 80 billion worth of goods between this marketing year, the 2021, and the next marketing year, 21-22. It's going to be 36.5 for the year one and 43.5 for year two. It'll total 80 billion. China in the past, in 2017, was somewhere about 20 to 25 billion, so it's a significant increase. What's going to happen from here? Well, China will probably start buying pork and other meat protein from us. They may start buying soybeans from us, but right now it's probably cheaper in Brazil. They did have that clause in there. They're going to buy it based on market price. I understand that. And they will. When we're not too far from the Brazilian harvest. But I'll tell you what, when we get into later this summer and the fall, when Brazil doesn't have as many beans and the United States beans are typically at the lower price seasonally, China will be buying a lot of beans from us. Right now, corn is, I think the United States corn is the cheapest in the world right now. And guess what? There were rumors today that China may have been buying a couple of cargoes off the Pacific Northwest. And, corn was up after being down, 11 cents, like 3 or 4 cents after the announcement and 11 cents yesterday. I think we're up like 12 or 13 today, almost making the whole thing back. Because what happened was is China is going to be buying. They will be buying products from us. And if you think about it this way, this was my huge takeaway on the whole deal. I think about it this way. The United States is keeping the tariffs on, basically saying to China, you have to buy product from us, and then we'll take the tariffs off. China doesn't have to pay tariffs on grain and pork. They just imposed it. They can just have waivers or take them off and have people buy, the grain and ag products, oil seed, soybeans, whatever, ag products from us. And then if that's met, the United States will reduce the tariffs. If you think about the amount of money that China has to use to be buying ag, energy, and manufacturing compared to the effect that tariffs have had on them, the effect of the tariffs is a much, much bigger deal in terms of money than it is for China to buy more products from the United States. It really is. And I just think, during the course of the year, China doesn't want to be told what to buy and when and for how much. They're going to do it on their terms. But it does sound like when things go on sale, or the United States is a low-cost provider, like they are right now in corn, or if we're close, they're going to buy it from us. So, also China needs pork. China needs probably beef and poultry too. So I would be thinking we're going to be seeing an uptick on that. That explains kind of the market action today. And just in terms of, what's going on with corn, it's going to be tough for corn to get old crop to get above that $3.95, $4 area unless we really see some strong, Chinese buying. I think corn is, it's range bound, right now, 370, 375 to the low side to $3.95, $4. It's a trader's range. If you got to catch up on sales, maybe that's, we catch up on the higher side. For farmers out there, I do like selling the rallies and new crop corn. If we're above $4, that's where we started, and we'll keep on selling up. My idea on these corn is if we're selling above $4, and we're locking in prices above $4, if you have storage at the end, there's probably going to be a 20, 25, who knows, maybe 35 cent carry between Dece and July when we get out to next year. Especially with the new VSR rules, who knows? You sell corn at $4 in December, we get to, the end of the contract, maybe July's 30 cents over, you roll it over, you collect another 30 cents of carry, put your final price at like $4.30 or something like that by next, June. You don't have to do the whole thing, but these are some pretty good strategies. If you aren't exactly sure how that works, give me a call. Especially if you're a client, and if you're not a client or thinking about one and you want to know how that works, give me a call, shoot me an email. I'm happy to walk you through it and how we're going about it. For soybeans, I think soybeans will be, even though short-term old crop will be between like 9 and 9.50. The thing is with soybeans, the market may be a little disappointed because China's still going to buy beans from South America. That's where the cheapest is going to be. That's where the harvest is going to be. China will buy beans from the United States. I bet it's going to be a lot of beans, but it's just not going to be probably right now. If it is, it'll be short-lived before they switch back down to South America. That's fine. But what it will do is it won't cause a big rally until we really get into when the traditional time China buys soybeans from the United States. What's going to be really interesting is the next WASDE reports are February, March, April, right? Those three that are coming up is only going to focus on old crop. The USDA does not take a look at new crop until May. What's going to be interesting is what the exports are going to be for new crop on the May. Because, you know, for the old crop, we'll see some buying. The USDA will make some adjustments maybe for China buying a little bit of corn and some soybeans, but a bulk of the soybean buying, I think, for China is going to be starting in the next marketing year or later this year. And it could be old crop too. I mean, it could be old crop in the next between now and September, but or I guess August 31st, September 1st is the start of the new marketing year. But I have my gut is just telling me it's going to be more this fall. And what's going to be interesting is how is the USDA going to account for that, right? And we may not know until May. So the soybean story may take some time to flesh out. What is going to be, I think, and I've said this before, what this deal does is it puts in a floor. It puts in a much higher floor for corn, soybeans, and wheat than without it, right? I'm really not worried about corn 320. I was at this conference. Someone was talking about 96 million acres of corn. I guess it could happen. I just, you know, with soybeans and the demand that's coming, you think you'd see some more soybean acres. I was hearing mixes of 85 million acres corn and 96 million acres soybeans. That seems like a high skew. We'll see. But if that's the case, though, just so you know, if we have 96 million acres corn, you know, we're going to have almost a 3 billion carryout. And then maybe corn by harvest is 320, but if China's going to be buying corn and we don't get those acres or more acres have to go to soybeans because we are going to have more expected demand, and the market has to, has to prove that, it has to entice acres. So I don't know who wins the acreage battle. I don't know where the demand ultimately who wins the most on the demand side. But what it does do is it really does set, I really think it sets that floor higher. I'm not a whole lot concerned about beans below $9 for any length of time. If it does get down there, we'll be the lowest provider and China will be buying from us. And if, corn, I'm not really worried right now about anything going below 360, 365, because we'll see buying. We'll see buying at those levels. So best thing, number one, floor is higher this year than it has been in years past, especially since the trade war started. Number two, because that floor is higher and the ending stock should be tighter than in years past or expectations because of higher demand, the potential for rallies during the traditional weather periods could be good too. So, and we'll talk more about that as we go. As traders out there, I like buying corn below 380. I like selling it when it gets into the 390s. With beans, if we make a run towards $9, I like buying them. When we get it to 950, so the old crop, I like selling it. For wheat, I think we're rich up here, but we really do need a good wheat crop, especially for the Chicago wheat, to come down. I like selling wheat above 570. We've been doing that for producers. It's been if you have wheat out there and you need to sell it and get rid of it, I like those levels. We're looking at a double or a triple top or close to it on the chart, so we'll keep on doing that. What's going to be interesting here, too, is hogs. Pork, what was it? When they announced that trade deal, they can be operational. China can be operational to be buying U.S. commodities. They said 30 days. But they made a special exception that for the pork, it could be 10 days. Would that tell you? Tells you that they really need some pork, right? they made the exception just for pork, and everything else could be 30 days. So I would think the front end of the curve gets bullish here for the hog market. We'll see if February starts gaining on everything, right? That'll be the telltale sign of that. So it's exciting. I gotta tell you, one of the things that I'm really jazzed about here is just, I think, the overall optimism on ag. It's been a tough go. It's been tough. It's been volatile. There's no doubt about it. Between the trade deal, not the trade deal, between the tariffs and where we were 18 months ago, and then, you know, we had the summer and the late planting, and then just between the volatility and, you know, questioning where the USDA really was on the crop and if it was smaller than it should be, which I still think it is smaller. But it's been challenging. Been challenging out there. And I just think now that this trade deal is done, we've got a better floor. We've got more potential for rallies. And it's good. It is. I'm a lot more optimistic about things to come. So talked a little about phase one. Talked about grains and livestock. We're running up on 15 minutes on this podcast. I don't know if you guys have been hearing this, but there is construction at this hotel. Not only did my flight get canceled like three times today because it kept on rebooking us, and now I'm here overnight taking the first one out tomorrow, but the hotel room we got at the airport is having construction. So if you hear the drills in the background, there's really nothing I can do about that. So Monday is a holiday. I'll be back in the office Tuesday. I will be speaking this year. I do a couple of events. I'm going to be speaking for Farmland Partners. I spoke for Wiffles a little bit earlier. I'm going to be setting up my own events in Indiana, Illinois. I'm going to be in Cedar Rapids in mid-February. I'm going to be in the Champaign-Urbana area. I want to say like first or second week in February, maybe the last week in February in the Indianapolis area. I'll have all the details for that next week. And if you want to hear my presentation this year, and I am a lot more optimistic on things now, and it should be a really good one. And we'll do that too. Maybe we'll, again, if you have interest working with me, I'd love to speak with you. And for clients out there, let's start. This is good. This is some good news here. Let's start talking about marketing plans and how we want to attack 2020. So have a great weekend, everyone. MLK is Monday. Markets are closed. I'll see everyone Tuesday. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you all soon. All right, take it easy.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.